Good evening, Blog Talk Radio listeners and my Running for Christ ministry family. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our Wednesday night advanced Bible teaching class. But first, I have some rules to go over. If you would like to participate in the discussion or answer questions, please press 1, and that will put you in the host queue. Also, please try and keep the background noises down to a minimum. It is better to use the mute until you are ready to speak. Again, good evening. My name is Deaconess Loretta Welch. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come together to get understanding and clarity of your word. We sit at your feet humbly, awaiting you to shine through us, illuminating our spiritual growth, so that others may see and hear us and want a relationship with you as well. Let this platform be inviting for those who are seeking you. Use me to make this word understandable and fun, and let it be edible to each and every one of us who are here. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. The chapter today is Joshua's final exhortation. Hello, 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 hello. So,
good evening.
Good, good. Good to hear your voices. As I was studying this lesson, I had to first find out what actually was exhortation as far as the biblical sense. So an exhortation is to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. It's stated that exhortation is a spiritual gift. So we must be careful when confronting sin. We must not become proud and self-righteous, using truth to tear others down, but rather using truth to build them up. So we will begin with scripture lesson text. Can I get a reader to on page 43 to start reading the scripture lesson text? Okay. Read Joshua 24:1-17.
Okay.
And then somebody else can pick up 18-24.
Okay, starting with Joshua 24:1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Seeing evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all in a way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed.
Amen. Thank you. I get someone to read 18-24?
Sure, I'll read it.
Okay.
It goes like this. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And so that still takes, that still plays out today. This shows us how consistent God is. Because if you take those words that were just read and break them down in layman terms, what it says is to fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. But if you refuse to choose today, whom will you serve? The people reply, we'll never abandon the Lord and serve other gods, for the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors. The Ammonites were driven out, and so were the other nations, so we could focus on serving the Lord alone. If you abandon the Lord, he is abandoned. If you abandon the Lord, he is holy and a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion. You are to witness to your own decision. You are witnesses to your own decision. Therefore, destroy among you and return your hearts to God, the idols that you possess. So the people told Joshua they would serve God and obey him. Amen. You know, and that's still today. We have our own idol. We have our own stronghold in this world. And it still stands for us to fear God and serve him wholeheartedly, you know, because God has made a way for each and every one of us through his son, Jesus Christ. So therefore, we should be willing and ready to come to witness to ourselves that we're going to obey God and live by the path that he set for us to live. You know, we know his good and pleasing and perfect will for our lives. We just have to walk it that way. You know, we can all sit here and say this and say that, but it's all about your walk. Rather than what comes out of your mouth, it's all about how others perceive you as to whether or not they want what you have by the way you carry yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's move on here. Anybody have any questions or comments at this time? Okay. We're going to go ahead and we're going to read the golden text. Can somebody read that for us?
I'll read it for you there, my dear. If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's Joshua chapter 24, verse 15.
Amen. And you know, I myself, when I pray that my household serve the Lord, regardless, you know, not just for saying it to you guys, but I actually pray this.
Yes, she does.
You know, and so, like I said, we're reading this many years ago, and it still is our guideline for our lives today. So as Joshua is helping the people. He's giving them the opportunity to do what God had planned when he created us. Same thing with us. We're still supposed to be here doing what God, the plan that God had created for us when he created us, you know. But there's so much distraction in the world today that people are not listening to that message, and we're getting further away. That's why, you know, when I prayed, I thank God for the platform that we have, because I want other people to see and understand that this is a spiritual growth. It's a class you never graduate from. You never get it all to where you could just put it down. And for me, the more I learn, the more I'm drawn in, and the better I want to be as a person, as a teacher, as a sister in Christ. And being with you all kind of gives me that strength to, it encourages me. It's like, you know, I'm being exhorted by you because it encouraged me to continue to do what's right. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Let's read under the lesson exposition, Joshua 24:1. Somebody.
Okay. Yes. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. One person is righteous. Women. One person who is righteous can have a positive effect on a whole nation of misguided people. Joshua was such an individual. This convocation was set up for representatives of the various tribes to attend. They included elders, heads, subordinate leaders, judges, and officers, some officials of that place. They would be able to go back home and report what had happened, and they could be involved in making necessary changes. Note the fact that they came to gather not only to meet with Joshua, but also to present themselves before God. Therefore, this was not merely a political gathering. It was also a sacred assembly. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Okay. Am I the only one that doesn't know what convocation is?
It knows what is, hon?
Convocation.
I missed that. Convocation. I missed that. Convocation.
Yeah, that.
Okay. You know what? I missed that, and I will find out right now what it means for you. Okay.
A large formal assembly of people.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
This convocation was set up for the so that group of people, they were set up for the representations of the various tribes.
Yeah, those people that were in charge, like the they say the elders and the heads of the different, you know, subordinate leaders and officials. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Can I get somebody
Miss Rebecca? Thank you.
Yes.
Because we was told when we don't know the word, we're supposed to look it up. So that showed
that's
that none
right.
of us looked it up prior to.
Right. But see, I was so busy trying to figure out, look up extortation. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I didn't look up the word in the actual reading.
Okay.
Like I said, that's why we're here.
Yes,
you
yes,
know?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because he was told when we don't know the word, look that
to
word
look
up.
It up. Right.
Yeah, the same way them same word about a verse.
Okay.
A verse and we don't know it, look it up so you know why that verse is there.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
So
thank you. I'm sorry.
It's a formal assembly. Like, I wonder what kind of, if that would be like a, well, you know how at a funeral, when you have like a president, you got a lot of formal people there. Is that, or is it could be like church, a formal assembly at a church or something?
It was the the officers and the officials of these people, yes.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's, we still have them today, certain church denominations. You'll hear them say they're having a holy convocation. That
yes.
means the bishops are coming together and the head bishop, sort of like Church of God in Christ, where J. Drew Sheard is the presiding bishop. When they all come together to either ordain somebody or whatever, it's like a holy convocation. It's the same thing when we ordain deacons, deaconess, preachers, same thing. It's a holy convocation. It's a coming together of the leaders, the officials. It's really like a holy convening of the leaders to do God's business, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, Loretta, you had the nail on the head. And Keela, you had it right. When a group of officials come together, you know, because these words are not just Bible words. They're words that come out of regular conversation. So they could apply to school boards coming together.
Right,
but in this
right.
case, because it's God's work, it's a holy convocation, or it's a convening of the leaders of the tribes, the heads.
Right.
Thank you so much. This must be why this is called the advanced class with all these 95-cent words in here.
Yeah, but you know what? It's advanced so because we should be at that level where we're asking questions and not just, you know.
Listening,
yeah. You know, the participation makes it more advanced, you know, and that's why I like everything that I get from everybody. We all bring something different to this table. And we have to understand that it's not just for our edification, but it's for everybody that's listening that don't participate.
Watch out, Dana.
But we want them to want it to be in a relationship with Christ just like we are.
Yes.
And like I said, it's a class that we never graduate from. And I don't take anything as anybody being or knowing anymore. We're all learning it together. And that's the bond in the body of the church.
And that's great.
You know? Yeah. Amen.
Unify easier.
Yeah. Okay. Can I get someone to read admonition?
Sure. I can read it.
Okay.
Considering all the blessings the Israelites had received from the Lord, Joshua challenged them to fear him, meaning they were to give him their reverence. In addition to fearing the Lord, the Israelites were urged to serve him in sincerity and truth. The Israelites were also told to put away the idols representing the gods their ancestors had served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Verse 14, it is very doubtful that the flood mentioned here referred to the worldwide deluge and Noah's time. It more likely referred to the Euphrates River. The Lord beyond it, Mesopotamia, was the original home of Abraham. Apparently some of the Israelites had idols from Mesopotamia and Egypt hidden among them. They also had idols of the Canaanites. Joshua was very blunt in stating that if the Israelites found it undesirable to serve Yahweh, they should openly choose other gods, whether those of Mesopotamia, Egypt, or Canaan. Joshua was equally frank in stating that as far as he and his household were concerned, they would serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. You got another paragraph too. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lisa. Oh, well, let's go here.
I'm sorry. I thought it all ran together. Okay, can I get somebody to just read this, the one short paragraph of care?
I got it. The assembled delegates of Shechem appeared to be shaken by Joshua's remarks and might even have been somewhat resentful. They felt that they had shown gratitude to the Lord for bringing them and their fathers out of the land of Egypt, performing miracles in their sight and preserving them while they passed through hostile territories. They felt they had appreciated the divine care they had received. Amen.
Amen. And so see right here again, you see that they felt that they didn't do what they supposed to do. That's why I'm saying, you know, when you serving the Lord, that don't quit. That covers, it's supposed to cover every part of, every area of your life. But they felt that since they showed their appreciation, that those things that they brought, those idols that they had, they were trying to justify it, actually, you know. And Joshua was letting them know, right now, choose, be your own witness to the choice that you make on which God you're going to serve. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, the one true living God. Amen. Right.
Amen.
So,
amen.
So can I get someone to read contradiction?
Okay. It says, they failed to mention that they had not fully obeyed God's command to be more thorough in ridding the land of those who had long polluted with their evil ways. The leaders of Israel then declared, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Joshua warned the Israelites that they would not be able to serve Yahweh, for he is holy. He is a jealous God, meaning he will not share his glory with other so-called gods. Biblically speaking, it is a contradiction in terms to say that anyone can serve God along with other gods. Mammon, which is earthly wealth, or other beings or things, he stands above all else. He is exclusive and unique. He is different, not just in a degree, but also in kind.
Amen. You know, and like I said, you know, we're reading this of long ago, and we still have people that feel this way. You know, we still have people that think that earthly wealth and bling and all that means more than God himself. You know, until you get down to where you have to call on his name, then none of that stuff matters.
All right.
So you might as well put him up there at the top, right. No matter what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, and like I'm saying, people don't understand that, you know, how do old folks just say everything to glitter ain't gold? You know what I'm saying? So just because it look good don't mean it's good for you. Just because you can't afford it don't mean you need to have it. What you need is to have a relationship with God. What you need is to put God first in your life. And it's hard because we have so much distraction in the world. We have so many avenues we can take. But I found that if I focus on the Lord and I put him first and I walk through life and treat people the way I want to be treated, my life is a little more simpler than it would be, because my faith and trust is in God. It's not in the material things that I have. They don't mean anything to me, you know, anymore. But it was a time that, yeah, everybody got something they like. I love the shop. Don't get me wrong. But right now, hey, What is a closet full of clothes if you can't go nowhere? You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What good is a car if you can't keep gas in it? You know, so, you know, as we grow spiritually, we learn that if we put God first, he allows us to have the things that we need. We may not get everything we want, but he got our needs covered. And I'm grateful. I'm telling you, I'm grateful for to be able to have everything I need. And no matter how little I have, he always gives me enough to help somebody else.
Okay.
And that's a blessing. That's
Amen.
A blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So let's go into the consequences. That's a short paragraph.
Oh, I'll handle that.
Okay.
Although the leaders of Israel had said that they not forsake Yahweh, Joshua said that they would be guilty of forsaking him if they persisted in serving strange gods. If that happened, Yahweh would turn against them. He would hurt them in a disciplinary way in an effort to drive them back to himself. Amen?
Amen. And you know that's when God, you know how you everything could be going right in your life, and then all of a sudden the bottom fall out of something. That's because you didn't do something with what God told you that you weren't supposed to do. You know,
okay.
That's him making you focus back on him.
Yeah.
You know, that's my opinion. What does everybody else think? Because I mean, you know, how can all of a sudden, you know, the sun is shining, your pocket's full of money, but all of a sudden all of it's taken away?
Right.
It's because you'd have done something against what God wanted you to do.
You didn't handle it right.
You didn't handle it right. So he's shaking things up to be, look, you got to come back to me. You got to bring your mind in. You know?
Right.
And that's, you know, I mean, like I said, y'all, we had an awesome God who don't force himself on us. Wait till we say yes to him and still spank you, pick you up, dust you off, kiss you, and let you start all over again.
Yeah.
Every morning you wake up, you got a choice. I don't care how bad you did yesterday. When you wake up tomorrow or today, you're going to have a choice. And that's the kind of God we have. That's a mighty God that we serve.
Damn.
You know, I sometimes it intrigues me just to know that I can make mistakes and do wrong, and I could just come to, if I confess my sins with my own mouth, sometimes spontaneously he'll change things around. But if I try to think that I'm in control or I know, you know, what's best for me, it don't work. So I'm learning to lean on God. I'm learning to elect God set a path for me. We're learning to put God first in all areas of our lives. Amen.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Can I get somebody to read the agreement? That's
sure.
A short paragraph.
I can do that one, Loretta. Choice.
Okay.
Joshua 24, 21, 22. The leaders of Israel repeated their determination to serve Yahweh with implication that he will be their sole deity. Joshua told them, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. Verse 22, they responded, we are witnesses.
And again, it's applied to today. We are witnesses. We're trying to be obedient. You know, we're sitting in the classes every week. We're sitting here supporting each other. And it's encouragement to go to church and see the same people, you know, regardless to if we're at different places in our Christianity, we have the same goal, and that's to dwell with God for eternity. So it's encouraging to come together every week and see each other and lift God's name in song and prayer.
I have a question.
Yeah. I knew you would.
Here's the thing, everyone. Do
No, they were the Israelites as God's chosen people, and God took them out of bondage in Egypt. I'd like to know, how did they get involved with all these idols? I was looking at the Canaanites, and their favorite top god was Baal. And, Pastor, how did they get into this false gods and everything like that? Were they institutionalized by Egypt?
You know, that makes sense.
Was it a different
yeah.
city?
Their environment.
Yeah.
It's their environment. It's the same with us. How do we get involved with it? Like, Pastor Preach, how do we idolize a sports team, a car, an outfit, a purse, a pair of shoes?
Right.
It's the same. I think it's the same thing. And if I'm wrong, Pastor, please correct me. You know, it's the same thing.
I like that.
Yes. Yes. It's from an environment and culture. If you go into another
yes.
city and you're allowed to conquer that city, then you can fall into the way they're living. You know, it's just like they said, one person influences a whole group of people.
Exactly. I mean, you look at these reality shows that are raising our children to think that everything is so easily and is so easy. Look at these women that's transforming their bodies, going into debt instead of doing the hard work, instead of putting
right.
into practice. We don't teach our kids to put in the work. They want the fast way. Let's just, you know, I don't want to do that. Let me get it the fast way. So,
right.
I mean, you gotta look at seeing what, that's why I think it's so important to know what your children, and not, you know, children, young adults, what they're watching and who they are idolizing and what these people represent and what they're saying, especially in our culture. We're losing our culture. And we
yeah.
as a community need to come back not only and bring up our culture, like you say, Loretta, us studying and learning the word, but our history, which is intertwined with our religion, and we're losing it, and we got to figure a way to bring both of those things back together.
Right.
You know,
I can. Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys are nailed right on the head with the things that you named that we are idolizing above God to get those things. We're leaving God. And that's what Israel did. They wanted what the culture mm-hmm. around them had. Just like you said, Loretta, it's the culture around us, and we're leaving God to be a part of the culture. But
yes.
the Lord gives, and this is Old Testament, and so you would think that we got better in the New Testament. But like you're saying right now, Avitris, no, we're the same today. We're still idol worshipers. But listen
yes.
to the warning the Lord gives us today, and it's exactly like the one they were getting in. God reminds us, and see, what the Lord told them were, you're going to go over here and get houses you didn't build. You're going to
mm-hmm.
have farms you didn't cultivate. You know, you're going to have cities mm-hmm. you didn't organize. You're going to have fortresses you didn't set up. He says when you get there, I don't mind if you have the stuff, but don't forget me. And don't
Amen.
Have the stuff over me.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what happened, right? Because we're back
yeah.
in Joshua now. But we had jumped with Deacon Tate and with, I think, who is it? Rebecca had Gideon, you know, and then the backsliding people. We jumped over there into the judges. Okay, so we know that they kind of messed it all up. But here's what the Lord says to us today. And this is hard for us to fathom because we really love everything in the world. It says, do not love, this is 1 John chapter 2,
okay.
verse 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything mm-hmm. in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, this is what Beatrice was talking about and what Lola was talking about, the culture, comes not from the Father but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So
Amen.
Jesus told us in John 18 that we're in the world but not a part of it. And then
mm-hmm.
Jesus told us over in Luke 16, use worldly wealth. So he expects us to have it, but he says
right.
use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. So when it's gone, this life's over, and you give up everything God loaned you, okay, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 tell us how to use the wealth that God has given us. A good example is when Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, you know, he was super ganky. To become the chief tax collector, you had to be worse than all the regular ones, okay? But what happened is when he met with Jesus, he completely changed the way he dealt with his finances and the way he did business. If I have cheated somebody, and he know he cheated everybody, I will give to them more than what I took from them. And again, in the book of Acts, we see these same people who had houses and they had land and they had money, but was hoarding it to themselves. Once they were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, now they didn't look at what they had as their own. They no longer worship it. It's no longer what gives them worth. Now God gives them worth. And as we just read, because of God's goodness, I don't know who read that, but because of God's goodness, their return in favor was to do God's way. And that's what they did. They gave to everyone who had need, rather than just saying, I got mine, you got to get yours. Okay, so, and then the unemployed people became employed. All this by Acts chapter 6. And so, yeah, but we have the same problem today. We will, you know, what the Lord, how he taught it to me is because I was puzzled with these idols. What is an idol today? He says, well, what is it, what person, place, thing, or thought makes you not study the word? Like when he asked me this when I was skipping Bible class, because, you know, yeah, I know that sounds strange, don't it? Me skipping Bible class. Yeah, Sheila was with me. She was skipping too. We got caught by my pastor one day, and he asked us why we don't come to Bible class no more. Well, you know, we spoke in tongues and looked at the ground and never really did. Never did answer. And he said, is the class okay? And then we answered, yeah, the class awesome. The class, we just don't come, but the class awesome. But anyway, so the Lord says, what are you doing on Sunday morning when you should be teaching your Sunday school class and when you should be helping your pastor? Said, well, y'all know what I was doing, right? Drag racing. He said, well, that's your idol.
Okay.
That person, place, thing, or thought is over me. That's your idol. You're loving the world. I did not tell you to skip your Sunday school class and go drag racing. I did not tell you to not help your pastor and go drag racing. I didn't tell you that. Who told you that? And so it was me. It's what James say. We are drawn away, enticed by our own lust. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth death. And what was dying? My relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
I was giving it up for drag racing. I was taking his money that should have been tithes and offerings and using it to buy race parts. And because the Lord didn't strike me down dead, I was like Homer Simpson. If you don't want me to eat this pie, say nothing at all. And then we throw that pie up. So I was like that because God wasn't killing me. It must be okay. Until one day, you know, it all came to an end. But that came to an end, and it's where Running for Christ began. So
okay.
He always gives us. I heard somebody say it earlier. He does those things to turn us back to him.
Yeah.
Like when I think it was Loretta when she was talking about when the rug just come completely out from under you. You were sailing along and everything was sweet. And then all of a sudden, it's a complete nightmare.
Right.
Well, that's how God gets your attention.
I mean, think about it. Do it too many times for me.
Jonah thought he was on his way, right? He thought he was on his way. I am not going to Nineveh. I'm going to get on this boat, and we getting ready to go wherever, to Tarsus, and we ain't doing the will of God, and the Ninevites is going to hell. Well, didn't quite work out like that, did it? God completely changed that plan. So, but he did it for the Ninevites who was going to turn to the Lord, and the Lord knew it. And he did it to work on Jonah's heart because he wanted vengeance. You know, right. Sometimes God don't want to beat up the people you want to beat up. He want to fix them. And now you got to look at the people you believe should be beat to death. They fixed. Like, well, you should have beat them to death before you fixed them, and, you know, but that's God. So, yeah, it's all the effort to turn us back. Okay, well, this is all Avitra's fault because she's the one to invoke Pastor. If Pastor, you want to say something, say something. So it's Avitra's fault. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I was right. You know, when you say things, you want to make sure that they're right. So you need that clarification.
Okay, can I get somebody to read this last paragraph? Conformity.
All right. Joshua took advantage of the unified opinion expressed by the leaders of Israel to strongly urge them to put away the strange gods that were among them. A spiritual vacuum would be created by getting rid of idols, and that vacuum had to be filled. Joshua thus told the people to incline their hearts to the God of Israel. Joshua himself had seen how a previous generation had enthusiastically declared their allegiance to God, but then had repeatedly broken God's covenant with them. He wanted to be sure his people were genuinely devoted to following the Lord, and now he had done all he could toward that end. Amen.
And you see, again, we have leaders who are doing the same thing for us, want to make sure that we're genuinely devoted to serving God.
Yes.
You know, and it's a blessing. You know, when you do find that person that puts you on that right track and study allow you to grow all the way along the way.
Say it.
Yes, because, you know, like I said, I love the shock. Let me tell you what God did to me. Lord, I have to do this testimony. He made it so I couldn't pay nothing but bills for a whole year.
Ooh.
Yes. He made it so I couldn't pay nothing but bills for a whole year. Only time I got the shot was when my daughter gave me the money to shot on my birthday and Mother's Day. I'm telling you, it opened up my eyes. I said, all right, let me come in 2024, do it, being a little more focused on what you want me to do, Father, not doing what I want to do because I have access to it. You know, that's how God is, but I love it because I ain't got to bump my head but once. For me to get some kind of understanding, but this is what Joshua is trying to tell these people. You can, all these things that are around you don't mean anything if you don't put God first. If you don't go to God for whatever you're trying to do or whatever you're trying to make happen, he'll make it so you don't have no other choice but to come to him. He's going to make it so you come back to him. And that's the way it was for me. And I was like, okay, Lord, you ain't got to spank me no more. Here you are, I see you.
Amen.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So we're going to get into these questions.
Okay.
And then, you know, I wanted to, because we always discuss the people that God used to, you know, to get his word across or to help make his point. And Joshua was just a sincere and humble leader. He wasn't anything special. You know, he was just an ordinary man. But he took his responsibility seriously, with sincerity, and he always had a positive perspective, and that's why he was allowed to become the leader of the Israelites.
Who is Joshua with our mentor?
Oliver. There you go. you work with my nerve. As the kids say. I don't know who his mentor was. Who was it? Tell me, baby.
Mom.
Oh, okay. Thank you kindly for that input, Mr. Welch. You're going to get it. Yes, I tell you, Lord, my student.
My
yeah, he always got a question. I don't care who's teaching. Okay, you guys, so let's answer these questions. Question number one. In what representative way did Joshua summon all the tribes of Israel to Shechem?
I will answer that question. It's at the top of page 44, the assembly, and it reads as follows. This
convocation
was set up for representatives of the various tribes to attend. They included elders, heads, subordinate leaders, judges, and officers or officials. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Question number two. How do we know the assembly was both political and sacred?
Good evening.
That they came together not only to meet with Joshua, but also to present themselves before God. Therefore, this was not merely a political gathering, but also a sacred assembly.
Amen.
All right.
Okay. Question number three. What three things did Joshua ask Israel to do?
I got the last paragraph on page 44, and I used this part. Joshua challenged them to fear him, meaning they were to give him their reverence. In addition to fearing the Lord, the Israelites were urged to serve him in sincerity and truth. The Israelites were also told to put away the idols representing the gods their ancestors had served on the other side of the flood. So the three things are their reverence and to serve him in sincerity and truth and to put away idols.
Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, question number four. What did Joshua mean by the other side of the flood?
Okay. Will that be on page 44, beginning in the, well, it's in the second column. And it says, it is very doubtful that the flood mentioned here referred to the worldwide severe flood in Noah's time. It more likely referred to the Euphrates River. The land beyond it, the Mesopotamia, was the original home of Abraham.
Right. Amen. Anybody
Amen.
Have any answers different? If you do, you know, you're welcome to put them on the table and we can discuss them.
So
no, Go ahead,
Rebecca. No, go ahead.
Okay, I have one question. I didn't know Abraham was from Mesopotamia. Does that make him Egyptian?
Now we better ask Pastor Devon. Pastor.
Wait, what was the question?
since they said Abraham was from Mesopotamia, does that make him Egyptian?
No, that's modern-day Iraq. Egypt would be on the lower hand right when you get to the bottom of where they're fighting now in Gaza. And you hear a lot of talk about the Rafah Gate. That's where Israel and Egypt is bordered together. So that would be there. Where he comes from is modern-day Iraq.
Okay.
And he went up from there to Syria, okay, and that's where his father died. And then when he left there, he came on down through there, and then once he got there, he went to Egypt. So, no, he's from Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq. That's why they were getting so mad when they was having the war over there, because a lot of places that people like to go and visit to trace Abraham's steps, well, they're kind of tearing that up, and that's where he crossed the Great Euphrates. if I was at the church, I could show you in the map on the wall, and I would show you where everything is. But, they had to cross the Great Euphrates River, and it often flooded, and that's where they're talking about the Great Flood, from beyond the Great Flood, because where Abraham come from, they worshiped the moon and a whole bunch of other things. And so when it mentions the gods beyond the Euphrates, that's what they're talking about, the gods that they worship there versus, you know, the Chaldeans, you know, that's all that good stuff. So, yeah, there you go.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Okay.
So when you just said that, I just want to make sure I understand that when you, the other side, when he said the other side of the flood, was he referencing, like, before, like, the flood that it was related to y'all, when y'all was in Egypt, y'all did all this mess and worship who you want to, but now we on this other side, y'all got the only one is God, is our Savior. But maybe I'm overthinking it or I'm just totally off.
No, now see, in Egypt, they had brought gods from Egypt because they was there for 430 years. So they picked up a lot of the Egyptians' worship habits and practices and gods. They had those. Then they also had the gods of Canaan, of the people who were in the land where they were going. And then there were the gods of their ancestors beyond the Euphrates, meaning in modern-day Iraq, Mesopotamia. So they brought all these systems with them. Remember when Jacob, after he had got rid of Laban, told Laban, go back home, you know, you tried to gank me for all these years, God ganked you back, so I can't help that, go home. So Laban went home, and then Jacob turned to his own people, and he said, look, we're going to serve the Lord God and him only. So get rid of the gods among you. Now, remember, his own wife, Rachel, his favorite wife, not the one with the weak eyes, but Rachel, remember what she did? She stole her father's gods and then pretended like it was that time of the month so she didn't have to stand up because she was sitting on them. And, of course, Laban pretended that's why I chased you, but he was really mad his moneymaker was gone. Okay, so, yeah, all of them, they had been influenced by the nations that they were around. And that's why God warned them over and over and over. Don't even try it. Don't even get into it with them. Tell them, you know, I like your God, but, you know, I'm good with the one I got. So I'm just going to stay over here. But you see what happened. They started sacrificing their kids to Molech and to Chemosh in the fire. Yeah. I mean, that's... wouldn't do nothing like that for the Lord, but would do that for a fake God. I mean, think about how much effort we put into life, but how little effort we put into serving God. I guess the divine exchange is this. Less of me and more of you. That's it. And I guess that's what we grow. We grow. As we come to the Lord, we're the Corinthians, right? Completely off the hook. But then we get teaching, we get learning, and then we apply that learning. And then mm-hmm. changes start happening. We get control over ourselves. We get,
that's right.
We, let me use perfect English. We get gooder.
Absolutely. Hopefully. Yes, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Okay. That's why I was wanting to understand, was there a reference between, like, the, you know, the rivers, like the old, the way that it was prior to, you know, them crossing, like, you know, leave what was, like you said, what was in Egypt. When we get to the other side, we go, like you said, we're going to be gooder. We're going to be better. We're going to, them ways is left. And this should be, we should be a better person. So,
right.
Okay.
Okay. Amen. Question number 5. What were the 3 sources of idols retained by the Israelites?
Okay, that that's on page, still on page 44, and it reads as follows. Number, apparently, some of the Israelites had idols from Mesopotamia, Egypt, hidden among them, and they also had idols of the Canaanites. Amen?
Okay.
Those are the 3. Mesopotamia, Egypt, and the Canaanites.
Okay. Okay, Canaanites, yep. Okay. Thank you. Question number 6. What did Joshua declare? You wanted to say something? What did Joshua declare regarding himself and his household?
That's on page 44, and it's in the next paragraph. And mm-hmm. it says, Joshua was equally frank in stating that as far as he and his household were concerned, they would serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Question number 7. Were the Israelites grateful for God's care for them?
I say no. And I think I was reading it, and when I read in the scripture, I don't know if it's the right scripture. I mean, I think they lied and said that they would never leave them, but they had already had their stuff with them. So they never was fully with God. So I think it's like 24, like 16 or something like that, that they're talking about that. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong.
That's where it is. The answer is there, 24, 16 through 17.
I thought it was the one down where say they felt that they had shown gratitude.
Right,
to
God. Right.
That's yeah.
Uh-huh. My father's out and out of the land of Egypt performing miracles in their sight and preserving them while they passed through hostile territories. They felt they had appreciated the divine care they had received.
Okay. So were they grateful? I think they were grateful, but they
right.
felt that once they showed their gratitude, that they still deserved to hold on to these idols. You know, that's what I got from it, you know, because, you know, they said they appreciated what he did, but you're still harboring idols. So
right.
I guess if you say thank you, Lord, but you still, you know,
right.
you still have this idol, then... Are you really grateful for God's care?
Yeah. I like the footnote for that says, all the people boldly claim that they would never forsake the Lord, but they did not keep that promise.
Right.
Very soon God would charge them with breaking their contract with him. Judges 2:2. It says, talk
okay.
is cheap. It is easy to say we will follow God, but it is much more important to live like it. Yet the nation follow God through Joshua's lifetime, a great tribute to Joshua's faith in God and powerful leadership.
And I agree with you. I was wrong not to see it because I went by the last sentence of what I read, not actually looking at what it says, the performing miracles in their sight and preserving them. So they were still trusting in them false gods as they was going through hostile territory.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I agree with you, and I apologize. I had it totally wrong now. Okay. But thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, they felt like, you know, they was just happy. God was just one of their ways. You know how I think a survey was taken, and they said that 57% of Christians believe there's more than one way to heaven. And so, you know, I even know people who are Muslim Christian. They have mixed them both together.
Okay.
And they're Muslim Christian, yeah. You know, because in the Quran, it clearly teaches 25 miracles. It has Jesus' virgin birth and 25 miracles, okay? And Jesus is looked upon as, you know, somebody but just a prophet. And so a lot of Muslims don't have a problem with Christianity. And since they all trace themselves back through Abraham, through Ishmael, then they kind of feel like we're cousins, in-law, outlaws. And so a lot of folks they take a duality. They Christian, they believe in Jesus, but not as, you know, the way we do. But they don't have a problem with it. Okay? So cuz he's a part of them, because Jesus is in the Quran. I'll never forget meeting a Muslim on Facebook who came to Christ reading the Quran, because he read about Jesus' virgin birth and the miracles he performed. And he put Jesus up against Muhammad. And he was like, Muhammad didn't do any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And so he came to faith in Christ based on what Jesus did. So you see what the Lord did. A lot of people look at the Quran as evil. And it's got some crap in it. You know, it's just like Confucius or Buddha. It's just a bunch of sayings. That's all it is. Except for part of it, the first part of it is the Hebrew Bible. And the second part is some of the Christian writings, and then the sayings and writings of Muhammad, who was completely illiterate. But Jesus used that. He uses the Jehovah's Witness Bible, Martin Luther's German Bible, to lead people to Christ. And once they get there, then they, of course, fill with the Holy Spirit, and then they can get a Bible and go ahead on with the rest of their life. But, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Question number 8. How did Joshua respond when the leaders first declared they would serve the Lord? Go ahead.
I got page 45, the third paragraph down where it says, Joshua warned the Israelites that they would not be able to serve Yahweh, for he is holy. He is a jealous God, meaning he will not share his glory with other so-called gods. Is that right?
That's right.
Does that also reference 24:19 when it says, then Joshua warned the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is holy and jealous. A jealous guy. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins.
Yes.
So is that something different?
No, that's actually because that was in Joshua that verse 18, and then the question I asked was actually, I think, in verse 19, if
okay.
I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, again, here we see that our God is a jealous God. And so when we split our own worshiping of, you know, doing what we want to do for ourselves with God, God's still jealous. He wants to be first. He wants to be the only thing that we worship. And I'm just, you know, to read this stuff and to know that this, what was going on back in the day, is just that through technology we have different idols, but it's still an idol. And God still feels the same way, no matter what it is.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's why he tells, you know, that he preferred for you to be single, so you can just worry about loving on him rather than to share that love, you know, because you have to love your spouse. You know, that's why he recommends that you stay single, so you can wholeheartedly give yourself to him. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, question number 9. Why might God turn and hurt Israel after he has helped them?
That would be a bunch of consequences, that whole paragraph.
Okay.
Although the leaders of Israel had said that they would not forsake Yahweh, Joshua said that they would be guilty of forsaking him if they persisted in serving strange gods. If that happened, Yahweh would turn against them. He would hurt them in a disciplinary way in an effort to drive them back to himself. Amen.
Amen. And that's what I was stating earlier. You know, like I said, when the bottom fall out of everything, that's God shaking it up. That's God letting you know, look, you're not doing things the way I want you to do them. Focus on me. Try it my way. You know? And so that's the way, same way. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's the literal words are, for us as New Testament saints, is, Hebrews? Chapter 4. I mean, chapter 12. In your struggle against sin, you've not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? And if you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we might share in his holiness. No discipline seemed pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Lord, no, I'd have been trained by discipline.
Well, he's been training me all year, Pastor.
I'm telling you.
Let me tell you. You know, like I said, you know, I'm telling you, I tell anybody, it's been the worst year of my life. But it's all because of the choices that I made. And it's God showing me that he feels that I didn't do it the way he wanted it done. So I'm working on it. Like I said, he ain't through with me yet. I'm still working. But, you know, that's just the way it is. And I don't mind using my own example to let people know we got a real, true, living God, that he'll set you down and make you think about it and make you want, Lord, I do anything. Just take me back. Just welcome me in your arms. I act right. Yes.
I've been there on a couple of occasions, you know, just doing things, and he watched me, and he watched me, and he, like I say, he wasn't saying nothing, so I just kept going, and the next thing you know, he dropped the hammer, and the next thing you know, for several years, you can't do anything. And you know exactly where it comes from, why it's going on, but after that's over, you learn the lesson. You can go back to shopping, but it's different that this time around. You know what I mean? And,
yes, it is.
He used to get after me about, look, you got too many paper trails. Look at you. Look like a little baby pony, all them paper trails behind you, like 10 or 12 credit cards all run up. He said, look at that. You look like a little pony. You get all that cut off. And so, yeah, we had to go to work on all that.
Don't worry, Pastor, I'm doing that too.
But once he gets you in shape, you like have one, and then boom, there you go, and you're good. He just don't like us. What does Janice say? Flourishing. Anything that mess with our flourishing, the Lord don't like it. Whatever stop us from flourishing, he coming hard at it.
Right. And that's exactly. But I'm grateful. Okay, let's do question number 10. What two things did Joshua urge the repentant Israelites to do?
Well, that's the last paragraph.
Okay.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'd much rather you go.
No.
Okay, well, it's the second to the last paragraph on my paper. I have, Joshua thus told the people to incline their hearts to the God of Israel. Is that right?
Let's see, what two things is Joshua?
You said two things. No, that's wrong, because I only have one thing.
Right. I started from the conformity to down to the God of Israel.
Yeah, Joshua.
Yeah. You have started Joshua.
Is it in the scripture, I don't know this, and this could be wrong, is it decrees and regulations of the Lord?
Well,
23.
Was he wanting to get rid of the strange God, and the other one, as you read it on down.
It was to get rid of the guys and to turn themselves, their hearts back to him.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh,
yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, guys, we finished the questions, but I wanted to open a discussion. I think we've already, actually had it. Because in the research and discussion area, it says many Israelites were still holding on to the idols on Joshua's day. What lessons can we learn from this, and what kind of idols might we be holding on to? So my example, already answered that. For me,
right.
It was shopping, And like I said, it's everybody got their own song.
Mm-hmm.
That puts that wedge between you and God, and I'm not saying for everybody to talk about theirs, but I just wanted to point out that we were still doing that to still today. We have we just have technology and more things that make it seem like it's a part of your everyday life, and it's not separating you from God when it actually is. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And also it says was Joshua really giving people the option of serving other gods rather than the Lord? Why or why not?
Well, he showed them when they was the first, before the flood, they did wrong, and it must have been real bad if God gave them the flood. But
well,
go ahead.
No, there was no option because there wasn't an option. It was because of how he said there was no jealous God. And then, like, what I was reading about what he wrote down, because I always be asking Pastor, I'm like, who wrote this stuff down? How did they keep up with it? And then, so, like, verse 25 says, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day at Shechem, committing them to follow the decrees and regulations of the Lord. Joshua recorded these things in the book of God's instructions. So when he recorded these things about the covenant that he did with them based on the word of God, it's recorded, right? So so this is something that they should have been able to have access to, if I'm not mistaken. So no, there wasn't an option. There is no other God before me, right? Ain't that what he said?
Right.
So with me and my house.
But this thing, I thought it. Go ahead.
Was going to say that the Lord gives us the option. He's so mighty and wonderful that he lets us choose.
Right.
That's all.
Right. But see, now they had the choice of doing like their ancestors did, which was wrong, or like he said, they had the chance to do like he said. In his house, they gonna serve the Lord. So if you really gonna make a choice, your choice should be, he's saying your choice gonna be serving the Lord if you in his house.
Yeah, their
right.
big problem was trying to straddle the fence. They were gonna serve God and the other God. As we read, because y'all know we done read through the whole Old Testament. So we saw that they were constantly running up under them groves, remember, the Asherah poles, and still going to the temple.
Yes.
And the Lord kept telling them over and over and over, look, you're going to have to get rid of your girlfriend, your boyfriend. You got to get rid of them. You're married to me. You got to leave them. You're not going to have me and them. It's either me or them. So to a certain extent, God is with, even though we are eternally, we are under grace and under the new covenant, the age of grace, new covenant, right?
Yeah.
But he still treats us the same way. He won't join us in our sin against him.
Okay.
He will let us, like the prodigal son, okay, here you go, take your little inheritance, you got your salvation now, you related to me, but you want to take a trip into the far country because you want to see what the world doing, well, go ahead. I ain't going to bother you. When you get ready to come back home in your right mind, then I'll just welcome you back. But, you know, like those trips we take into idolatry and following other gods, and see not good about it, is that we're doing this to the God who does everything for us. How disgusting was it when Israel asked God for a king? I mean, really? I'm your king. Are you really saying this to my face? I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you past Sihon and Og, through the Jordan River, through Jericho, through all them heights. I brought you. And you want what? We want us a human being, somebody we can see, like all the other nations around us. We tired of the God you can't see. So how disgusting is that? That we would turn God down for something he made. And we would take a piece of wood like Deacon Tate talk about all the time over there in Isaiah 46 when my man went out and cut up some wood, brought it home, used some to kindle his fire, cook his food. And while he waiting on his food to cook, he sat down and whittled a god and then worshipped it. It can't even whittle itself. It can't even stand up on the shelf by itself. So how does God feel when he looked at his creation and they worship something he made or don't just trust, lean, and rely on him for everything. But like I say, we're the age of grace under the new covenant. And so Jesus died for all our nonsense. And so we become the lost, the straightaway sheep. Jesus come look for us because we're too dumb to get back home by ourselves. Well, we the lost coin in the house. We so lost we can't even find ourselves. Okay, so he had to come find us and put us back where we're supposed to be so we have value. A lost dollar has no value. A lost $1 million bill has no value until somebody takes it and uses it. So that coin that was lost in the house, no value until Jesus restored it to the other coins. Okay, now it has value again. Prodigal son, the further he got away from his father, the farther he went down. And his resources ran out. It's like a plant pulled up out of the ground, smiling and laughing until it started wilting and started drying out. And then if it gets replanted, then it can live again. But if not, it's a wrap. And so the prodigal son, before he wrapped, he went back home. So in every case that we screw up, the Lord, we're either the sheep, we're the coin, or we're the son. And it could happen over and over, different ways. This week, we're straight away. Like me, joined the same church 6 times. Okay, so, but God, he has a way of getting us back. Either, however we, if we're the sheep, he come get us because we're just too crazy to get back. Or if we're the coin, we're so lost we can't find ourselves. And if we're the son who just walked off, supposedly with good sense and a plan, well, when it all falls apart, we can't live without our father. And he just welcomes us back. In all those cases, the sheep wasn't fussed at. The sheep was just picked up, put on the man's shoulders, and carried back to the flock, and then just put down, and he back together with the family. The coin was just laying there, couldn't even help itself, and Jesus wouldn't stop until he found it and restored it to the other ones. And the same with the son. The father looked for the son, and when he saw his son afar off, meaning he was looking for him to come back because he knew he couldn't live without him. Mm-hmm. And so he came back, and he wanted to be a slave, but he got restored to a son. And y'all know how us church folk act when we see people come back to church that ain't been there for a while. We act funny. And that's the older brother. He wondering, why are we in here having a hallelujah party? Because I saw him down with Sally at the other day. He didn't look like he was trying to come to church then. And y'all in here celebrating because he back up in the church now. You know, he better not sit by me. You know, that kind of stuff. That's the older brother syndrome. And some of us act like that. But like the father said, all God's concerned about is his kids coming back. And Joshua tried them. He cracked me up. The first time I read that, I literally laughed. Because he told them, I've been with y'all since we left Egypt. Have y'all forgot? Golden calf, you remember that? Remember the snakes when y'all kept complaining all the time? Remember we was 3 days away from the Red Sea and y'all complained about water? It's water, but we can't drink it. It's water, but we can't drink it. We going to die, you know, all of that stuff. Joshua remembered all of that. He had 20 years of memories with them under Moses. And now they telling, and now he's come to the end of his deal, right? And they talking about what they going to do. But he been with them. Y'all haven't even conquered the whole land God told us to conquer. But you going to do this. Y'all can't serve the Lord. He ended up killing y'all. Because, see, Joshua remembered when the Lord told him, I can no longer go with you, lest I destroy you in the way. So I'm going to appoint an angel to go with y'all. So y'all remember when we read that? Joshua was there. He heard all that. He heard the 10 who went over there and spied out the land and then came back with that old chicken crap report. He was there, him and Caleb. Yeah. And now here they are after all those campaigns, right? And even he failed. He failed when they went to Ai with a crapped out plan that didn't include God, and he failed with the Gibeonites who came and tricked him, talking about we come from a million miles away, they're right around the corner. And they didn't consult the Lord. So, yeah, we do that. And so Joshua is telling these people, like the Lord tells us, you know, one thing, he'll always come get us. No matter what we do to ourselves, he will always come get us. And when we confess our sins, he will. He don't even want to hear all that million different apologies. He just wants you to confess your sins. He forgives you, and he immediately works. The cleansing progress starts. And he don't care how many times he had to do it. Like I say, some days we'd have lost coin. Some days we'd have strayed away sheep. Sometimes we are the son who walked off. Just going to see what they're doing on the other side. Found out they ain't doing nothing over there. It's tripping, but that's the good news of the gospel, y'all. We don't want to forget that, that we can't lose and we're not lost. God always knows right where we are. Jesus told his father in John chapter 10, Lord, I'm going to be through preaching. He said, those that the Father has given me, I have lost none, and
Amen.
I will raise them up at the last day. So, amen. So whether they dead or alive, he ain't lost none. And so we ain't about to be the first loss that Jesus suffered. It ain't going to happen. But it don't mean, though, we won't go through, you went through a year of stuff. I went through seven.
The year ain't over yet.
Twice. I swore for God I would never do it again. And did it again.
Yeah, right.
But he rescued me, though, on September 12th, 2012. He got me straight. I'm like, Jesus, I ain't doing this no more. I ain't going to even say that. I ain't doing this no more. And I haven't, so, you know, but it was fun. It wasn't fun when I was going through it, but it's over now.
Okay. I have one more question to ask you guys. What are some of the things the Lord has done for us that place us under obligation to serve him faithfully? And I have one thing on my mind particularly, but I want to know if anybody else feel the same way. Any answer?
Well, the question again, I'm sorry. What was the question?
What are some of the things that the Lord has done for us that place us under obligation to serve him? And I'm not talking about from the scriptures we read. I'm talking about in today's time.
Life itself. Just we have life. There's enough to serve him.
Okay.
I think for me, pastor helped me counsel. I mean, I think like hating somebody so bad for how they treated me, and then when I finally said this to this person, they didn't even realize it. It was like, oh my, I didn't even know you hated me like that. And just to get, because I had to come through that, to let it go, and to get to the other side. And then I wasted all that time hating somebody, and they didn't even realize it. It's like, if I'm going to hate you, I need you to know it.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you really do.
Right.
Yeah, and,
so,
you know, and I was thinking, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that, and it's always so much stuff running through my mind because I always want to correlate things that I do and I want to do in my community. I need when they see a Vitress, I need them to see that's the Christian in her, that's God working through her to help her community and people in her community. And I was like, that's why I try to, when I bring stuff to church, I pray and say, is this the right thing to do? You know, hopefully I'm doing this right. I'm doing this for, because this is something that God wants me to let people know what's available. It's not for my personal, like, oh, this is a feature, is that, but that's another thing just for me.
Okay. Amen. And also what I had in mind was this this pandemic we just went through.
Yeah.
That was another way of him, like, this whole world, y'all need to focus on me. Stop running amok and, you know, doing the things that you're doing. I shut everything down. Won't nobody move. Until some of y'all start coming back home, you know.
Right. That was the, Loretta, like you said, that was the Noah Ark of our, you know, century.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yep. Okay, now, we've had our little discussion. I enjoyed you guys. I just want to read this, the Golden Text Illuminated, and then we're going to listen to the announcements and pray us out. It's, okay, the Golden Text Illuminated says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve. That's why they asked the question, was he giving them the option to serve other lords? He was giving them the option to come back to God. But because he says, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. It said, Joshua reminded the people that their ancestors had served many gods and that the occupants of the land they had just conquered did the same. It was time for them to decide whether they would worship idols or destroy them. Just as the previous generation had to decide whom they would serve at Sinai, so their children, now grown men and women, also had to choose. Worship that is superficial is not real worship. Obedience that does not come from the heart is not at all what the Lord wants from his people. It must bring out love and commitment. Joshua asked the people to think about it. How did they see serving the Lord? Did it seem the right thing to do, or did it not appeal to them? Was it evil in their sight, or was it good? The integrity of Joshua is evident that he already had made his choice how the people decided he would serve the Lord. How the people decided he would serve the Lord. This is the mark of a true and courageous leader. He knew where he was going and what he wanted to do. There was no need to take a poll to see what the people wanted to do. No need to survey them to find out which direction to go and which God to serve. Joshua set the example for the people. He was challenging them to do likewise. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for participating in the class. It was a very enlightening class. Thank you all again. And Pastor, do you want to do the announcements at this time?
Awesome job. You know, while y'all was kicking it around, I just had to, you know, mute for a minute and go tell my wife that, you know, this makes my week. To hear y'all kicking it around like that, the word of God, you know, my favorite passage about this is in Malachi chapter 3, I believe, where the Lord looked and he listened and he heard about those who always thought about honoring his name and what he would do for them. They would become his treasured possession, and you would again see the difference between those who serve God and those who do not. And so when I see that happen, when I see those things coming to pass, I know it's Jesus through the Holy Spirit that's doing that. And as a pastor, that gives my heart great joy. I mean, I always go over the Gospels because I love to see Jesus and I interact with his disciples. That's why I like to watch it. Thanks to Ali, I now got the book of Mark and Luke visual. I used to just have Matthew, John, and Acts, but now I got the whole thing. And I love to see how Jesus interacted with his disciples. And because these things are the word, direct word of God, no just written in stuff that didn't even happen. But you get a chance to see Jesus' face, you know, and how he looks at his disciples. Like, you would think he was angry with them when they was talking about who's going to be the greatest when Jesus die, and Jesus right there in front of them, and they secretly having this conversation, and they think he don't know. But it's the way he talks to them. And the look on his face when he would ask them after he taught them, "Do you understand what I've said to you?" And he would see that look that they got it. And then one time he breathed on them so they could receive the Holy Spirit. And then one time he opened their understanding. And I get a chance to hear y'all literally do that and see that. And I know the Lord Jesus is proud. And I know the Holy Spirit is not grieved. And this is what pleases God's heart. You can't give him anything. You don't need anything. And if he did, do we have stuff that God needs? I don't think so. No. So this is what he wants. This is what he wants. This is what Janice is talking about. This is what leads to flourishing. You know, figuring like a Vitra saying, "I just want to be correct." You're just figuring God's word out. Where am I supposed to be? Is this what God has me doing? You know, with the people who get those jobs and who get incomes to take care of their families, who for some reason couldn't before, they went to the website, and now, and some people who have trouble keeping jobs, there's so many jobs on the website, they lose them and get another one. I literally see that happening. So, yes, that's him. And that's your ministry. That's what you're doing. And that good counts for treasure in heaven. And I get a chance to see all of that. But the Lord knows. I just want you guys to know that your Savior, your Lord and your Savior Jesus is proud of you. And the Holy Spirit is not grieved because you submit yourselves for teaching, to learn what we get here. He's going to reinforce one-on-one with you. And that's the wonderful thing about home study, cracking this book open and reading it, and then finding the answers. That's the real thing. That's the real thing. That's when the Holy Spirit can get with you. And I'm sure I could tell he was with Loretta, because when she went to these research and discussions, he wanted to bring out some more stuff. And so he poured that into her. And then it came out. And then with the Vitria is going to footnotes. Remember that? You can still use footnotes that she used them to bring out further understanding. That's all him, and I listen. And I hear that stuff, and it makes me happy. It really does, because I know when I get home, I can face Jesus with a smile, that the runner for Christ, the members that came, you know, and the ones who persist, who push forward, right? They're learning. Mm-hmm. They're growing. They are not the same people they were when they came to Running for Christ. They are not the same. And so that's I thank him for the work that he is doing through you guys. And I just wanted to say that every now and again I'll stop and say stuff like that. That's awesome stuff. Thank you. Make my heart happy. Okay, the books for the class is coming up for those of you who asked for them. They're going to be, the order is already placed. They'll be here on, hopefully before the first Sunday. They were supposed to be here by the 12th, but hopefully they'll be here before this first Sunday, coming up this Sunday. Okay, but if not, it'll be by the 12th.
Okay.
12th of November. Okay, and this Friday, y'all know Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, bring back the family. Call in, get involved in the conversation, have conversation like we're having tonight, okay? It's about helping young people. From time to time, Avetrius pops in with her ministry, because what they do is they gather up a whole bunch of things that help people, and they discuss and talk about those things, and people need help. So get involved in the conversation. Get involved in the work. She is a legal 501c3 170b charitable organization. Make a donation. Run for Christ, you've blessed her, okay? She's been added to the people that Running for Christ Ministries donate to. So when you give tithes and offerings, some of those have gone to her. But you also want to be able to do stuff on your own, okay? And so God can bless you even more, okay? This Saturday, Pastor Jonathan Tate will be preaching. This Sunday, Pastor O will be preaching. My sermon topic will be the God of all comfort. Oh, I can't wait to have some fun with that.
Say that okay. again.
The God of all comfort.
Oh, comfort. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be at Church Resurrection.
Yay.
All right.
Yay,
yeah.
Okay. Now, on the prayer list, our own Deaconess Lisa, we're praying for her and her, what was that, her niece? Her niece passed away. And
oh,
so we want to keep Deaconess Lisa in prayer. I want to pray for the Bailey family. Y'all know Rod Bailey went home to be with the Lord. We were right around the same age. Okay, he might have been 1 year older than me, but we're right around the same age. So he went home to be with the Lord. Not too long ago, his sister went home to be with the Lord. So I believe that just leaves one brother here out of that family. Mother and father and other brother is already gone.
Yeah.
So keep Kevin Bailey, but most folks just call him Hoops. Keep him in prayer. Okay. Yeah, Hoops. And then the Walker family off of, what is that? What Superior in River Rouge. Yeah. The Walker family.
Oh, yeah. Everett. Everett. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Everett Walker. Yeah.
Okay. So,
Pastor, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey.
This is Mother.
Hi.
Hi, Mother. Hi, how are you? I've been listening all night. Beautiful, beautiful lesson of Loretta. Beautiful job. I haven't been with you all the month of October, but pray for me. I'm scheduled to have surgery on my leg on Friday, the 3rd of November.
Wow.
I appreciate your prayers and had lots of trouble with this leg, and I'm grateful that I'm able still to hear you and enjoy everything that's going on. So I've been listening all night, and I really appreciate your being there. So pray for me. The surgery is going to be again Friday of this week, so hopefully I'll see you on Sunday. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
All right. Amen. Prayerfully. Yes, indeed. Jesus, make it happen.
And I have a question. Is it too late for the book for Monday's class?
I think I may have ordered one or two extra.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you put me down for one, please?
Oh, I sure will.
Okay, thank you. I really enjoyed the class and everybody, you know, we get together and make it plain and understanding, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of the class and be a part of the church and learning. It's just wonderful.
And we're glad to have you.
Yeah.
But I agree with her, Sister Welch. You did a very good job. But I know you got help from Deacon Welch, but that's okay.
Yeah, we know Deacon Welch in the background making it all happen. Yeah, we did.
But you made a good presentation what he taught you, though.
Oh, that, you know what? taught me. The big he.
Yeah. We know Oliver got you all hooked up. Yeah, he the one.
Yeah.
Okay, all mine clear?
Not yet.
One more.
Maybe the Holy Ghost want to know who teaching next week.
Mm-hmm.
Pela Freeman.
Me. Yes.
Pela Freeman will be rebuke and repentance.
All right.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Didn't they just say they was going to serve the Lord? They ain't even making a week.
I don't know what they doing, but I know I am.
I know that's right.
They didn't even make it a week, and they already finna get a review.
Yeah. One more request, Loretta, if I may.
Okay, go ahead, Mother.
My brother, Dr. Michael Maddox, lives in Indiana now. He's having trouble, with his heart monitor. What do you call it?
The pacemaker.
Excuse me. And I'm asking your prayers for him. He was supposed to have come here last weekend to visit, but when it was misbehaving, so he had to stay at home. So be praying for him that all is well. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, let us pray. First of all, Father, we're sending prayers up to everybody on that prayers list.
Yes.
We know that your will be done, but we ask, if it is your will, make it happen.
Hey.
Father, we thank you for the time we spent here together tonight. Father, I enjoyed the class, and the class enjoyed me, and most of all, we enjoy sitting at your feet. Continue to use us, Father, to let your light shine. Continue to thank us, too, because we don't ever want to forsaking you. But sometimes you have to bring our minds in so we can come back to you. So we ask you, Father, to continue to serve us off a platter of love, grace, and mercy so that we too can show your light to others through the way we live, the way we walk, the way we talk. Keep us, Father, until we meet again in the next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Dr. Welch.
All right, y'all.
Amen. Okay, so we had a good night, and we learned a lot and got a lot discussed, and I love discussion. That's real good. Okay, everybody have a good night.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Night. Night. Yeah, yeah. Anytime I feel down, I know I can depend on you to help me pull through.
Help me pull through
the situations in my life. Nobody said it would be easy to walk this way, to live this life today. But through it all, I can say that I never found such love from somebody who treats everybody like somebody. I can't express my love with 10,000 tongues, but I'm willing to try. Oh, I just wanna take this chance to open my mouth and say thank you. Times I lost hope, my faith was weak, and my heart was sinking, and I couldn't see my way out. But then you came and showed me.
thank you. For giving your son, I wanna thank you. Thank you. Cause Lord, you're the one I wanna thank you.
Thank you.
I wanna thank you.
I just wanna
thank you. For all that you've done,
you.
I wanna thank you. For giving your son, I wanna thank you. Cause Lord, you're the one
I
wanna
thank you.
Just wanna say thank you.
I just wanna thank this chance.
I wanna thank this chance. For all that you've done, I wanna thank you. For giving your son, I wanna thank you. Cause Lord, you're the one, I wanna thank you. Oh, I wanna thank you. For all that you've done.